This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
And I'm practically naked from the waist down. I was hoping you would dress me back up as a doll and show me back up.
Brendan McLean, welcome to the Sound Museum on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for having me, Joy.
You're about to release your first EP, White Canvas, which has already been getting some great reviews. Triple R have called it fluid lyrical poetry.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what fluid means. I don't know whether they spilt something on their copy of the record or anything like that.
It's a bit of a dirty word, isn't it?
It makes it sound a bit moist.
A bit saucy, yeah.
You know, that's a good thing. But, it's good that they're picking up on the lyrical stuff. And, you know, I put a lot into putting some thought and substance into my lyrics. So, yeah, I think it's good news to hear that people are enjoying my first offering.
The single Practically Wasted sounds something that wouldn't sound out of place on the last Silverchair album, Young Modern. How would you describe the sound of the record?
Well, look, I think being in an EP, I think you have to offer as much of yourself as you can.
Mm.
So, you know, there's five tracks and they all have their own little bit of character. But that's, you know, that's why I've called it White Canvas, so I can sort of splatter anything at the world and hopefully people will find, you know, one track in it that they really like. But, Practically Wasted is the big opener and I kind of wanted it as my war cry and, you know, here I am and here's about as much noise as I can possibly make in one song. So, yeah, hopefully it's doing its job.
Where did you draw your inspirations from while producing the record?
Well, we tried to look across a few different styles and, I love other pianists like Ben Folds or, mm-hmm. you know, Rufus Wainwright is someone I love. But, in the end, I kind of had to listen to the music that was around me, you know, even my friends' music and you know, I live in a house of musicians.
Yep.
Everything sort of seeps into it. But what we tried to do with each track, we tried to make a solid pop or folk track, and then when we finished, me and my producer Michael Carpenter sort of looked at it and said, well, how can we bend this spoon in a different way so it's, you know, it's uniquely my own sound, and I think it's really worked. And every time we finished a track, we sort of said, okay, what's the twist on it, what's something new? And, you know, with a simple track like White Canvas, which closes it out, we had this guitar and we had all these vocal layers and some simple string work, but it wasn't enough, so I brought some incredible arrangers on board and found something new from it. You know, we listened to Björk and we listened to the ways that she uses strings in her songs and see if we could work that in. So, yeah, the bending spoon effect is what we called it in the end.
Lyric-wise, do you draw on personal experiences or do you like to write from another perspective?
I think everyone draws on personal experiences. The track where I'm talking about, you know, going to a supermarket and eating in the middle of the road, because everybody's done that. Everybody's got drunk at some point mm-hmm. and gone, you know, what the hell's open? I'm going to buy a pack of, you know, camembert cheese and eat it with Doritos and see where you go from there. But, you know, and also where your mind goes when you're doing that, you know, when it is, you know, 1 a.m. in the morning and you start, you know, wondering what if you'd said this during the day and, you know, why not put that in a song? And then you can play out these fantasies in a song. It's a great thing to be able to do.
Now, I've been able to have a bit of a listen to the EP and the track that has stood out for me was Stop.
Yeah.
It's such a feel-good number.
Yeah. No,
what exactly is it about?
That one means so little.
Yeah.
It just, I kind of wrote it in a way that I wrote the music first and I don't usually do that. Usually I write the lyrics up first and then, you know, the melody comes later. But with that one, you know, there was just this sort of little riff and refrain and then the chords that were in it. And, it just kept growing. And it was just, you know, how do you make people feel good with a song? How do you throw as much energy into something? And you know, I recruited my friends, the musicians like her from Sydney, Kent Eastwood and Annalise Soda, to come and just scream their guts out in the bridge of the song. It shows when people listen to it. You know, it's great when someone can listen to a strong, deep and meaningful song and connect with it. But sometimes all you need is 2.5 minutes of energy and happiness and people can dance to it. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to do.
Stop pulling your head. The old world is dead. Stop pulling your head. The old world is dead.
Uh-oh. definitely sure to be a song that will go off at your gigs.
Yeah, yeah. No, it does. We go crazy. Actually, at the launch we had up in Sydney, I managed to knock over a champagne bottle, a bottle of cider, a bottle of beer, a bottle of water, and jump on my phone.
Oh, my God.
It goes off quite well.
Speaking of the launch, how was the reaction from the crowd?
It was really good. It was somewhere where I don't come from Cronulla, where I did it, so in the Sutherland Shire. I didn't know what to expect as a new musician, and I'm sure a lot of musicians who, you know, listen to this understand that your gigs are always full of your friends and your family. But this one, I had a lot of faces that I didn't know.
Do you find that a bit intimidating, or do you prefer performing in front of strangers as opposed to people you do know?
You know, you get a really honest reaction of people who don't know you.
Yeah.
Because they don't care. Mm. They don't care if they upset you and leave or talk during a bad song.
Or throw tomatoes.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you just wait up there, and if they do throw tomatoes, you just make a salad and try and get on with your day. But yeah, they really enjoyed it, and my stage shows are pretty lively and have, you know, hints at cabaret, and I had a wonderful drag queen from Sydney, Millie Poppins, actually put together an outfit for me that had this, you know, long wallpaper fabric, and it was twisted and with big bow ties and everything. And you know what, in the end the crowd really got into that, and I think they really appreciated the performance behind it. And at the end of the night, the best part was people had the EP in their hands and went home smiling. So, yeah, I was really proud of it.
Please tell me there are photos of that outfit on Facebook.
Plenty.
On MySpace.
Plenty. Plenty of photos on Facebook and Twitter and all that for everyone to go look at.
I did
end up taking it off, and I had an Ed Hardy shirt underneath it, but I've changed it to my own brand, which is Ned Hardy, which is the non-wanker version of Ned Hardy.
Oh, controversial. Now, you're releasing the EP independently.
Yeah.
Is a major record label deal something you're fishing for?
Look, you try to, and of course you can send that out to people and hope they listen. But in the end, you know, a record label wants to make money, and it's a lot easier for them to jump on board people who are already established. And I find that if you just go independent as hard as you can, if you at least give yourself one or two tours and a chance for the public to find you, then I think people appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to call you an overnight sensation. They're not going to get that wonderful Australian tall poppy syndrome where they think nobody deserves to have any success. But yeah, I'm loving giving it a go, and I love going to Melbourne. I love going up to Brisbane, and we're going to Adelaide in 2 weeks to perform at the Fringe Festival.
Yep.
And it's incredible because you meet so many people because you've done it all yourself, and you make so many wonderful personal connections, which is what music should be anyway.
Excellent. Now, what were your experiences with music growing up?
You know what? I haven't been doing it for too long. I've probably been doing it for about 4 years.
Yeah?
But before then, I started as... I was a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I my story is I started off in a karate classroom in this little school that had dance and martial arts in it.
Yeah.
And so me being the boy that I was, I started off and I did karate, and across the room I saw these, you know, gold flickers of sequins. And after 2.5 years of looking at it, I crossed the hallway, I started dancing, I started acting. And one day somebody needed me to sing a little song in a dreadful musical called The Wiz that has Diana Ross and Michael Jackson starring in it on the movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, I gave it a go, and people seemed to like it. And I went from there, and music writing for me really just came from writing terrible poetry. My poetry was no good. And one day I sung it instead of just reading it, and people listened.
Because,
you know, music can fill a room, and you can't avoid music. So if it's terrible, people will tell you, and if it's good, people will tell you. And luckily, I got the latter reaction.
So you just said that you're a bit of a dancer. Are we going to see you on a future series of So You Think You Can Dance?
I don't know.
We're actually speaking to Natalie Bassingwaife later today, so I might put in a good word for you.
Oh, Nat Bass.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. No, we were all down there dancing at the Wear It With Pride campaign.
Oh, terrific.
Which was just the other day.
Yeah.
You know, I have lots of friends who jumped in that video clip, but I've just written a song the other day that was about my complete jealousy of pop artists who can make a room dance. So I'm sure within a few years I'll find some dance DJs. And if there's any DJs out there who want to work with a vocalist, I would love to see people dance to a song. I think I think all us folk artists get tired of making a room melancholy after a while.
Yeah.
I got a cool and happy disposition. I will be waiting here for your decision. And if it's not quite mine and you won't take it back, I can earn my stripes. Sit here boiling in my cold and happy disposition. I will be waiting here for your decision. And if it's not quite mine and you won't take it back, I can earn my stripes.
You've been a presenter on Triple J since 2007.
Yeah.
How has your time at the station influenced you as an artist? Because I'd imagine you'd meet a lot of pretty incredible musicians.
Yeah, of course. Look, I had my wonderful experience of Rufus Wainwright walking in, and after loving his music for so many years, all I managed to do was I reached out and I grabbed his arm and then just stared at him.
How awkward is that?
It was so awkward, so very awkward.
So what was his response?
He just kind of looked at me and said, hello. And I said, oh, your show was really good last night. And then I think I ran away.
Don't you hate those moments? There's so much you want to say, but the words just don't come.
You shouldn't meet your heroes. Don't meet your heroes. It's not worth it. But look, yeah, you do hear so many demos, and, you know, they have the Unearth program, which is such a vital part of the Australian music scene. And I do listen to hours of new music that I haven't heard a week, and I think besides affecting my own music, it actually it helps me realize what is unique about my own sound.
Mm.
Because yes, you do want to jump on board, you know, a synth or a style of drumming or a way of singing when you hear these incredibly successful songs. But it's when you hear too much of that in your own songs that you know you have a problem. But I think for me, it's just taught me to appreciate music much more often. And after now going through this production process myself, you know, I listen to these demos that I get with such awe and feel like, wow, you know, this person has achieved an EP or a demo or a single, whatever it is. It's a massive accomplishment for any artist to finish something. So for it to get to me in a studio and to listen to, that's incredible. And so, yeah, you try and find the good parts of each song now. And I think, if anything, it's taught me to do that.
Have you shamelessly plugged yourself on air yet?
I get a few people asking that, if I'm going to go, hey, this is Brendan, and here's Brendan.
Right. Here's my brand new single.
Yeah, no, I think I might get thrown out of the window if I do that.
Not too cool, is it?
Which is why I'm very lucky that I've got friends in other radio stations now. But you know what? Even friends won't play bad music, so I've still got to write good music.
Now, I'm going to test how reliable Wikipedia is. Either someone is out to get you, or this is true.
Okay.
True or false, Brendan? You starred in a Nicki Webster video when you were a kid.
Ah, no. Why did you ask that?
It's true, isn't it?
It's very true. 24/7, crazy about your smile. Thank you, Miss Nicki Webster. It's me as a very, very young, awkward, pimply little boy having a dance in some wonderful, shiny, silver lycra pants.
Is it on YouTube?
It sure is.
Oh, I just killed your credibility right there, didn't I?
You did, thanks.
No, you hate me now.
Ever book me in Melbourne again.
Nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of Melbourne, any plans to do some shows down here in the distant future?
Yeah, sure is. Pretty much the middle of the year I'll be down there and hopefully getting back in some venues that I've enjoyed, like the Butterfly Club and a few of the other local cabaret venues as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I should be down there after the Adelaide Fringe Fest, which is all through February and March.
And I should be
down there late March and in April. So, but definitely if anyone wants to find out, you know, follow us on Twitter, follow me and Joy Radio on Twitter. And I always flood people's inboxes after a while.
Well, make sure to pop into the station when you're down here.
Of course.
It'd be great.
Of course, I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Now, you are openly gay, and of course, Joy is a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered radio station.
Yep.
Now, here in Australia, we seem to have a great shortage of young gay role models.
Yeah, right.
How important do you think it is for local gay celebrities, especially young celebrities, to be open about their sexuality?
You know, I do think it's very important, and I think, you know, with wonderful things like the Wear It With Pride campaign going on right now, that it's great for anyone who has the ability to shed some positive light on our society and our community. If they can do that, that's a great thing. Of course, I don't think it always has to be the focus.
Mm.
I know a lot of wonderful people who don't talk about it during their shows, but, you know, for me, the best ones who are celebrities who can just say, yeah, you know, I was with my boyfriend the other day, and, you know, you're hearing that every now and then on the radio and on TV, and I think that's the best thing we can do, is just say, you know, we're all a part of this community, and whether you're gay or straight, writing a good song is a good song. So I think that's my job, first and foremost, is to write a good song, and then if I can ever, you know, influence someone by saying, you know, it makes no difference, I think that's the best thing anyone in the media can do.
Have you performed at any gay events?
Yeah, mostly ones for young, you know, youth campaigns and things like that, and hopefully getting more involved with Mardi Gras as time goes on. But otherwise, I don't perform on Oxford Street too much in Sydney.
You don't busk?
I don't think, no. I don't think my music has enough of a beat for gay people. So I actually find myself going to, you know, just out into normal venues, and if I can, I usually just drag my boys along with me.
Yep.
I bring them along, I try and spread the Rainbow Road love all around Sydney and Australia. So, but I think it'll begin to happen more.
Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much, anytime.
All the best with the EP White Canvas.
Thank you.
And all the best with the upcoming gigs at the Adelaide Fringe Festival.
I'll talk to you soon. I'll hopefully see you in the Joy Studios very soon.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.